Thank you for letting us be a part of your day. Regardless of the changes that are occurring in the world around us, one thing that will never change is the powerful promises of God's Word. I want you to be encouraged as you listen to this message today.
The virgin birth of Jesus Christ is one of the greatest controversies in Scripture. The role Mary played in the virgin birth is clear, yet it is confused by false doctrine. Christmas is the story of spiritual warfare. It's the greatest story ever told by the greatest life that was ever lived. The Bible says, "For this cause came Christ into the world to destroy the works of the devil." Jesus, the light of the world, came to destroy the prince of darkness. That's what Christmas is all about. It's not about Santa Claus. It's about Jesus Christ and his victory. Hallelujah to the Lamb of God. Jesus is the gateway to heaven. Will you please stand for the reading of God's word? Turn with us to Philippians chapter 4, reading verses 6 and 7. As we gather here this morning, we are just 3 days away from the new year. The question is, are you going to have a happy new year, or will your personal problems destroy your peace of mind and hopes for your future? The Bible is filled with the answer of how to make this next year the best year of your life. You make the new year your best year by crucifying worry. Stop worrying. Period. Stop worrying about what Washington, D.C. is doing. God has given us now a new opportunity to experience life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness in the election of Donald Trump. We have a new beginning. Stop worrying about the things beyond your control. 1 Peter 5 and 7 says, casting all your care upon him. Say that with me. Casting all of your care upon him, for he careth for you. Stop being driven and controlled by the prophets of doom and gloom on fake news, and start being driven by the good news that you find in the Word of God. This is the best news you will ever see. I hold in my hand God's blueprint for the future of the world. I have good news. When the melodrama of this madness ends on planet Earth, we win. We win. It's going to happen very soon. Very soon. The trump of God is going to sound. The church is going to leave this earth for 7 years. While on this earth, the Antichrist will bring in the new world order, and it will be hell on earth. At the end of 7 years, we are coming back to planet earth, to the city of Jerusalem. Jesus Christ will sit on the throne of his father David, and he's going to rule the world from Jerusalem with a rod of iron. You're going to be there. You're going to be the leaders of the earth. Think about that for just a while. It will be a time of total peace. The Bible says the lion will lay down with the lamb. All military forces on earth have been terminated. The Bible says they shall beat their swords into plowshares and study war no more. In this kingdom that we're going to be a part of, there will be no more death, no more crying, no more pain, no more wickedness, no more night, because the glory of the Lord will fill the earth. Revelation 21, I don't know exactly how that's going to work. I know most Hispanics want to take a siesta, but we'll see about it there. There will be no funeral homes. There will be no hospitals. There will be no abortion clinics. There will be no injustice. There will be no emotional depression. There will be no hurtful words. There will be no gossip. There will be no worry, because people all over the earth will be thinking good things. Church of Jesus Christ, this is our future. Lift up your heads and rejoice. King Jesus is about to return, and all of this madness on planet earth will vanish in the twinkling of an eye. Now let's read Philippians 4, 6 and following. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God that surpasses all understanding will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Lord Jesus Christ, you look from the balconies of heaven, you see the chaos and the madness on planet Earth. We are anticipating the soon appearing of King Jesus in the clouds of heaven to take us into the paradise that God has prepared for his people. I pray that as we run this last lap, that God will give us total victory over the world, the flesh, and the devil. In the authority of Jesus' name, we pray and ask these things, and all of God's children said amen. Amen. You may be seated. St. Paul teaches how to think about good things. Cornerstone Church, we called upon the members of Cornerstone Church to pray and to fast for 40 days that God would rescue America from the political corruption of Washington, D.C. How many of you were a part of those prayer meetings? The Bible says, when my people pray, then I will hear from heaven. God heard from heaven. He answered that prayer. He has given us a smashing victory, and the world is celebrating the future of the United States of America, especially Israel. Israel now has a partner they can depend on. Make this known to the nations of the world. Christians in America, stand with Israel. Think about this. The national news has carried the story in the newspapers of America that there is an explosion of Bible sales all over this nation. This is not from religious newspapers. These are from the Wall Street Journal, those kinds of papers. Revival fires are simmering in this nation. When you start reading this book, you have a collision with Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit. Think about that. The national news has carried the story of the newspapers, and that's happening. Think about this. Thousands of young converts have recently been baptized in the Pacific Ocean, confessing Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Thousands. That has been recently happened. Think about this. Denzel Washington, one of the most celebrated actors in Hollywood, has surrendered his life to Christ to become a minister of the gospel. I know there are people who are going to take that with a grain of suspicion, but I assure you, Denzel Washington is for real. Why do I know? Years ago, I was preaching in California for Dr. Charles Blake. We were both on the Board of Regents of Oral Roberts University. As I sat on the platform, looking over the audience that was filled to the back walls, singing a gospel song, Denzel Washington started walking down the aisle. I blinked twice before I could really confirm it was him. But he walked all the way and sat on the third row, and he sang that gospel song by memory. I knew then that this was not a novel experience for him. His father is a Pentecostal preacher. I guarantee you he's been to church before. He walked into that service, sat down, and the Holy Spirit hovered over that meeting. Think about good things. If St. Paul boldly declares to every Christian in America, in nothing be anxious. In nothing be anxious. Say that with me. In nothing be anxious. This is one of my favorite verses I have found in the comforting pillow upon which to rest my head when I was weary beyond words. I have founded a strong staff upon which to lean when my feet were on slippery slopes. I have found it to be a fortress in the day of battle. In nothing be anxious. In nothing be anxious. How reassuring, how full of comfort. It is as tender as the caress of your mother's touch, and it's stronger than the raging storm in which you find yourself. In nothing be anxious. In nothing be anxious. Think about good things. Don't worry. Our God is on his throne. He's greater than the giants you're facing. He's greater than the sickness that's attacking your body. He's greater than the problems that you are facing. He's greater than the financial crisis that you find yourself in. Our God is an awesome God. He is a provider. Our God is a waymaker. Our God is greater than demon powers. He has the power to heal broken hearts. He is the shepherd who knows the way. He's the greater than the greatest. He is stronger than the strongest. He is higher than the highest. He is wiser than the wisest. That's the God we serve. Give him praise and glory in the house of God. The Bible says, I have never seen the righteous forsaken, nor their seed begging for bread. The Bible says, I will never leave you nor forsake you, even to the ends of the earth. Don't worry about your feeling of insecurity. The Bible says, greater is he that's within you than he that's within the world. When you read this book, you discover that you and you and you and those watching by this telecast who have received Jesus Christ, you are royalty. The blood of heaven is flowing in your veins. God has a special agency of angels that go before you and behind you to be your protector. You have the Bible right to expect two. I suppose that some of you have already worn your angels out and we're getting a new set. Demons tremble when you bow your knee to the Lord Jesus Christ and mention his name. That's not hyperbole. That's in the Bible, word for word. Nothing is impossible to you. You can say to this mountain, be cast into the sea, and it shall be done. That's awesome power. That's awesome power. You are a child of the King. You are a child. You are a child. You are a child. You watching are a child. The royal blood of his flowing in your veins. You need to talk like it. You need to think like it. You need to act like it. You need to crucify worry and live with the tone of victory on your lips. God will not fail you. Give him praise in the house of God. Don't worry about your past failures. Everybody in this building has failed. Some of you more miserably than others, but we've all failed. God's grace is far greater than your worst sin. I want to say that a second time and write it down and put it on your refrigerator. God's grace is far greater than your worst sin. God doesn't consult your past to determine your future. Don't worry about the things of this earth. God knew they were going to happen a million years ago, and he already has the answer. Don't worry about your marriage. If you and your partner will obey the word of God, your marriage can go through the fires of hell, and the fire will not touch you. Marriages that rebel against the word of God for guidance cannot be kept together with sex, money, or 1,000 counselors. I've said this often and say it again. People who carry a Bible that's falling apart have a life that's not. Here's the Bible's penicillin shot for worry. The Bible says, cast your burdens upon the Lord and he will sustain you. God is our refuge and he is our strength, a very present help in the time of trouble. Therefore, we will not fear. Be anxious for nothing. Think about good things. St. Paul said, rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. You rejoice by choice. You worry by choice. You just have to make up your mind which you want to do. The Bible says, be anxious for nothing. King David said, this is the day the Lord hath made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? Though a host should encamp against me, my heart will not fear. Though war would rise against me, in this will I be confident. For in the time of trouble, he shall hide me in his pavilion. In the secret place of the tabernacle, he shall hide me. He shall set me upon the solid rock. My head shall be lifted up above my enemies. Glory to the living God. The victory is ours. St. Peter said, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Several years ago, I had a casting service. I put a 50-gallon barrel right in front here. And I shut the doors of the church so no one could get out. And I said, I want you to write down every trouble you're in or think you might be headed for. And I want you to march by it and throw it in this barrel. We're going to have a prayer of healing, and I'm going to burn that. And when that's done, you're free. Some of you in this building need to have a casting service somewhere. Casting every care upon him, for he careth for you. St. Peter said, casting upon everything. Jesus Christ said, take no thought. That means worry. Take no thought about tomorrow, for your heavenly Father knows what you have need of. God knew a million years ago that you were going to be here. The Bible says God knows your thoughts before you think them. God's not trying to catch up to where you are. He knows you. Do not the sparrows know this? Think about that. The birds know more than most people about God. The Bible says God guides the sparrow in his flight. He attends the funeral of every sparrow that falls from heaven. We sing that gospel song, his eye is on the sparrow, and I know he's watching me. Why worry when God is in your corner? Why worry when you can pray? Why worry when God is on his throne? Why worry? You serve a God that never fails. When you walk through the fire won't burn you. When you walk through the water won't drown you. Moses at the Red Sea. The three Hebrew children in the fiery furnace of Nebuchadnezzar. Why worry? God Almighty, the creator of heaven and earth, is your Father. You have a very, very powerful Father. He is all powerful. He's all knowing. He's all sufficient. And he's given you this. Call upon me. Call upon me. And I will answer you and show you great and mighty things that you know not. Give the Lord praise in the house. Why worry? He will give his angels charge over you to protect you in all of your way. Angels go before you and angels go behind you. That's awesome power. Why worry? You're covered by all of the powerful and precious blood of Jesus Christ. The demons of hell tremble when you roll over in the bed at night. You have that kind of power. Why worry? You are anointed with the Holy Spirit, with the Holy Spirit and fire. You have the favor of God. You have the power of attorney to use his name. Whatever you ask in my name, I will do it. If that was the only verse in the Bible, it would make this book the most exciting book in print. If the President of the United States said that, you would do cartwheels to the car lot. God Almighty has said that. and you look at that like it's old stale bread. Brother, when you get in trouble, this is your fortress. This is your hope. This is your direction. Give the Lord praise. The Bible says, ask and you shall receive. The Bible says, nothing is impossible to those that believe. Our God is an awesome God. Be anxious for nothing. Be anxious for nothing. Why do we need to be warned against worry? We need to be warned against worry because worry is sin. It is. Worry is faith in fear. It's not necessarily a compliment to be called a person of great faith. You may find that shocking, but think about this. It doesn't take great faith to depend on something that never fails. God never fails, and He's never failed you. Fear is the rejection of faith. The Bible says God has not given us a spirit of fear, but he has given us the power to overcome fear. Worry belongs to every class of people. Rich people worry. The poor worry. The intelligent worry. The illiterate worry. The young worry. The old worry. People in debt worry. A wealthy man was showing his friends through the mansion that he had, and he said, the furniture in my house goes all the way back to Louis XIV. And the man said, well, that's nothing. The furniture in my house goes back to Sears the 15th. Psychiatrists worry about their unstable patients. Psychiatrists are saying that 1 in 4 Americans has a serious emotional problems. So if you get in a group of 4 and the other 3 look okay, it's you. I saw a sign on a doctor's wall that says, welcome to the psychiatric hotline. If you're obsessive compulsive, please press line 1 repeatedly. If you're codependent, please ask someone significant to press 2. If you have a multiple personality disorder, press 3, 4, 5, 6, and 7. If you're paranoid, we know who you are and we know what you want. Just stay on the line so we can trace the call. If you're schizophrenic, listen carefully. A little voice will tell you which number to press. If you're manic depressive, it doesn't matter which number you press, no one is listening. And to register for our anger management class, just rip the phone out of the wall right now. There's a lot more truth in that than you believe. How many of you have ever slammed a phone down? The rest of you are lying. We worry about things we have and things we don't have. We worry about things we've said and things we fail to say. We worry about what we've done. We worry about the things we have not done. We worry about our bodies. Young people, you're taking pictures now. Take lots of pictures because you're firm and flat. And soon that's going to turn to fat and flab and it's going to be flying around. Some worry because they're not married. Others worry because they are married. Let me give a young men a tip. This is from my wife. I'm going to say that a second time. This comes from my wife. So when I say this, you won't say that man is a woman hater. She says, there's a huge difference between a quiet woman and a silent woman. A quiet woman is a miracle. A silent woman is a time bomb. Brother, that'll preach. You ever notice how worry always comes at a bad time? Worry comes at a time of crisis, just when you need a clear mind and creativity to make a good decision, here comes worry. Like a dark cloud to hide the sun, like a cancer draining all of the creative ability that you have. We need to be warned against worry because worry is a killer that makes cowards out of aggressive men and women. It fills your face with wrinkles and apprehension. It paralyzes your mind so that you cannot produce a good solution in the time of crisis. It robs the body of rest at night. It sends you to work shattered, shaky, second rate, naked on the naked edge. America's finest state, physician state, worry is the mother of cancer. It's the mother of heart disease, high blood pressure, ulcers. It's not what you're eating, it's what's eating you that's making the difference. Worry is trust in the unpleasant. Worry is assurance that disaster is coming. How many of you have people who are always on the naked edge of disaster? It's always coming to them. They believe in defeat and despair. Worry is the polluted stream that surges through your mind, drowning optimism, killing faith, crushing hope. Worry is interest paid on trouble before it ever happens. One old man said, "Most of the trouble I've had in my life never happened." How many of you ever had something you really worried about and then it just didn't come about? Worry has sent millions of Bible-believing Christians to the cemetery long before their time. Christians who claim to follow the Prince of Peace, yet they live in emotional turmoil. That doesn't go together. Worry has no place in the life of a believer. Stop it. Stop it. Think about good things. Talk about good things. We need to be warned against worry because it's absolutely useless. Jesus said, "Which one of you can add a cubit to your stature by worry?" Worry is useless. Be anxious about nothing. Worry has never solved a single problem. It has never lifted a single burden. It has never dried a single tear. Worry has never provided one answer for anyone, not ever. Don't worry. We ought never to worry about things you can change. Have you ever laid in bed on a cold winter's night? You're cold and you're shivering, and there's a blanket about 6 feet away. You didn't want to get up and get it because you didn't want to move. It is easier to lay there and worry the rest of the night. There's a solution. Do something about it. Tell your wife to get up and get it. That my wife didn't give me. Don't worry about the things you can change. Don't worry about the past. Don't worry about tomorrow. Listen to this. The past is history. The future is a mystery. There's only today. That's why it's called the present. It's a gift from God. Life is God's gift to you. What you do with that your life is your gift to God. Make it count. Make it count. Don't worry about things you can't change. Hear the prayer of St. Francis of Assisi, quote, "Lord, grant me the courage to change the things I can, the grace to bear what I can't, and the wisdom to know the difference." That is a great prayer. Don't worry about the collision of the planets. It's not going to happen. Don't worry about the world war that has just become. The Bible has told us exactly in the prophetic scripture what to look for. All of this was very clearly laid out. 40 years ago, I was saying what's happening right now. How do we get rid of worry? You think about good things. Good things that come out of this book. By getting into There's no such thing as getting into the ideal situation. There is no ideal situation. There is no ideal marriage. There is no ideal family. There is no ideal church or ideal business. Every business you have to work to make it work. Every place you go to will find people, and people are full of faults. They're full of failures. They have fears. They have frustrations. We are all fatally flawed flesh, period. And just in case you're sprouting your angel's wings right now and say, I'm really better than that. The Bible says all of our righteousness is as filthy rags. When you really feel like you are a super saint, God says you, in my comparison of righteousness, are a pile of filthy rags. If I had the courage, I'd give you the Hebrew word for that, but it would make you sick for lunch, so I won't. There is no ideal time in your life other than that. The young say, when I get older, that will be ideal. I won't worry then. Wrong, wrong, wrong. By the time a man finds greener pastures, he's too old to jump the fence. The ones with white hairs, you got that. There are three ages of a man: youth, middle-aged, and my goodness, you're looking well. There are those who say, when I retire, that will be ideal. Retirement is when you sit on the porch and watch the sunset, if you can stay up that long. One bad thing about retirement, you can never take the day off. When some people I know retire, it'll be hard to tell the difference. Yeah, think about it. They work so slowly and produce so little, you can't tell that they're not retired. Those who are single say, when I get married, that will be ideal. I won't worry then. Marriage will make me feel like a real man or a real woman. Here are some revealing quotes from husbands who were married at least 5 years. Please understand, these are out of a psychological text. One husband said, I married Miss Wright. I just didn't know her first name was Always. Another husband said to him, I haven't spoken to my wife in 18 months because I didn't want to interrupt her. You get rid of worry when you realize it's the end result of practice. Nobody was ever born worried. Look into the face of a baby. Do you see worry there? Absolutely not. Jesus said, except you become like a little child, you cannot enter the kingdom of heaven. Some people I know go through the gates of heaven sucking Rolaids. If you're a master physician, if you're a master musician, it's because you practice, practice, practice. If you're a master golfer, it's because you practice, practice, practice. If you are a worry wart, it's because you Anything that is learned can be unlearned. The Bible says, be anxious about nothing. Say that with me. Be anxious about nothing. Think about good things, the Apostle Paul. Get rid of worry by renewing your mind. Paul puts it this way. Whatsoever things are true. Are you ever talking on the phone someone and you just have the stinking suspicion this is absolutely untrue? Let me tell you how to end that conversation. Is this the absolute truth? Is it honest? Is it just? Is it pure? Is it of good report? Is it lovely? Those are the scriptural bases of a conversation. Don't you know the phone business would go out of business if that's all we did? You are what you choose to think about. You control your thoughts and you control your world. Control your thoughts and you can control your world. You and you alone are responsible for what you think, for your attitude that rules your life and rules in how you control to what's happening to you. Your attitude is your choice. The poem goes like this. Two men looked out prison bars. One saw mud, the other saw stars. In the same position, two different attitudes. A policeman saw a man on the San Francisco Bridge about to jump. And the policeman said, "Surely your life is not so bad you want to jump." And the jumper said, "Let me tell you how my life is. My business went bankrupt. My wife ran off with my best friend. The IRS has just taken my last dollar." After 30 minutes of listening to that guy, they both jumped. I say this in closing. The supreme penicillin shot for worry is faith in God and your willingness to think about good things. St. Paul writes, in everything, say that with me, in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. You come into the presence of God by thanking Him for the good things He's done. And when you get into the inner court, then make your petition known. And I assure you, after 66, almost 67 years, behind this sacred desk, God never fails. God never fails. He never fails. The Bible says it this way, "And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ." I read the story of an aviator who was making a flight around the world. After he had been gone for 2 hours from his last landing, he heard a noise in the cockpit, which he recognized to be the gnawing of a rat. Not knowing what part of the plane the sharp teeth might be cutting through, he was filled with fear. It was 2 hours back to where he came from and 2 hours to where he was supposed to go, to the next airport, beyond the point of no return. The pilot remembered that the rat is a rodent. It was not made for the heights. It was made to live in the ground, in darkness. He nosed the plane higher and higher and higher and higher, and the gnawing stopped. When he landed, a dead rat fell out of the cockpit onto the floor. Worry is a rat. It cannot live in the secret place of the Most High. It cannot breathe in the atmosphere of faith. It cannot survive in the presence of prayer. It cannot penetrate the power of the blood of Jesus Christ. If worry is gnawing at your mind, in your marriage, with your finances, with your business, with your children's future, with your past, climb on the wings of faith into the presence of the living God with a spirit of thanksgiving. Lift your hands in praise to the God of heaven. Worry will vanish. Faith will explode. Your heart will be ruled with the peace of the living God. Be anxious about nothing. Give the Lord praise and glory in the house. Can we stand together? I'm going to ask you this question. How many of you in this audience, there's a particular matter about which you worry? Your marriage, your health, your business, your children, your finances, your personal or professional future. I want you to leave this church today with the peace of God and total confidence about the success for your future. How many of you have one of those things that worry you? Let me see your hand. At least 90% of this audience. I want you to lift your hands together and pray this prayer with me. Heavenly Father, I thank you for your goodness.
I thank you for your goodness.
I thank you for your mercy.
I thank you for your mercy.
I thank you for Jesus Christ.
I thank you for Jesus Christ.
Who has died.
Who has died.
And become the Savior of my soul.
And become the Savior of my soul.
I ask you to deliver me.
I ask you to deliver me.
From the habit of worry.
From the habit of worry.
Let me rejoice always.
Let me rejoice always.
Knowing that God is my protector.
Knowing that God is my protector.
He is my provider.
He is my provider.
He is my defender.
He is my defender.
And I will trust in him.
I will trust in him.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
For hope.
For hope.
Love.
Love.
And joy.
Joy.
In this coming new year.
In this coming new year.
Amen. Give the Lord a shout of praise in the house of God. Amen. Amen. Sing. Then sings my soul.
Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art. How great.
Lift your hand for the blessing. And now may the Lord bless you, and may the Lord keep you. And may the Lord make his face to shine upon you. May the Lord be gracious unto you. And may the Lord give you the victory that you're looking for today. May the God of heaven liberate you from every form of worry. May God bring to you from this day forward peace that surpasses all understanding. That you can live your life with joy and confidence that you are a child of God, and God is your Father, and he is defending you with angels going before you and behind you, that your life may be blessed beyond measure with the peace of heaven as God's gift every day. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. You're dismissed.
As Paul wrote to the New Testament church, whenever we consider the return of our Lord Jesus Christ, we should comfort one another with these words. I also pray that you have the opportunity to share this message with your friends. Invite them to be a part of this podcast and give them the opportunity to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. You know, there's not a lot of places on the earth where you get the opportunity to receive the truth as it is declared in Scripture. And I encourage you to invite as many as you know to be a part of this conversation. God bless you, and thank you for being with us today. We also would love for you not only to subscribe to this podcast, but tune in every Thursday as Kendall and I have the opportunity to share a conversation about things that make a difference in your everyday life. God bless you guys. If you need anything from Cornerstone Church or Hagee Ministries, you can find us online or social media at sacornerstone.org and jhm.org. God bless you. We'll see you soon.